Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, I always tell my students, follow your bliss.
Welcome to Bliss to the Podcast. I'm your host, Patch Drury, and we are so happy that you're here. When I say we, obviously, I mean the royal we. I am happy you're here. I am excited you're here. I'm excited you've decided to share a little bit of your time with me today and listen. And I am excited to share a little bit of my time with you. Over the past few weeks, something I've always wanted for this podcast is that the topic is kind of elasticized, meaning it's about bliss, it's about pursuing your bliss, but it comes from a very Joseph Campbell monomyth place, and so from time to time I want the topics of the particular podcast to be kind of far-ranging, as long as I can tie them back in some way to Joseph Campbell's monomyth. And so for the last few episodes, we've really elasticized the topic. The last episode was on the Infinity War, the Avengers movie, and how it connected to the monomyth. So that was pretty elasticized. And so we stretched the rubber band pretty far. Now I want the rubber band to snap back. I want to get back to the specifics of following your bliss and how it applies to you as an individual. And so that's what we're going to do today. Specifically, we're going to tackle the topic, how we are all made in the image of God, whether we believe in God or not. And so this is not a religious podcast. This is not about Christianity or the Bible per se. It's just about following your bliss and some of the religious imagery that ties into that and makes it easier to kind of understand. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're super glad you're here to listen with us. And let's get on with it. All right, so we're all made in the image of God, whether we believe in God or not. That's what we're getting into today. I've really been thinking a lot about the specifics of the monomyth lately because I've been working on a project, and the project is a three-part workbook. And when I say workbook, I don't mean the boring kind that you think of when you think of school, maybe, but workbook like a coloring book, an activity book, that kind of thing. And going through this book, it takes you through the monomyth. And so I've divided it into three parts because the monomyth is kind of divided into three parts. There's departure, initiation, and return. And so this book has three chapters. It's broken down that way. And so in creating it, I'm spending a lot of time kind of swimming in those waters. And so I'm going to just get some of that further out of my head. If you're interested in this workbook, you can go to patchdrury.net, and hopefully when you go there, a pop-up will pop up that says, hey, get your free PDF. By the way, I'm giving away the first chapter of it free. I'm not giving the whole thing away free, but for now, I'm giving away the first chapter free. So you go to patchdrury.net, there's a pop-up that says, hey, get your PDF free, and you just put your email in and it'll send it to you. Or if for some reason the demons that live inside the internet decide to do something to my website on that day and it doesn't work, the front page of the website, there's a big button that says get your free PDF. So I want to make that as easy as possible. And when you do that and you give me your email address and you get the free PDF, you also get put on my mailing list, which I started trying to promote this mailing list to people by saying it's unlike any email list you've ever been on your life. The email that you get is unlike any email you'll ever see. And that was a bit of hyperbole on my part. But then somebody that, a local guy, a local video guy, who is super creative. He's like, if you're local and you want something really incredible done, he's the guy that everybody goes to. If you've ever seen any of the Kentucky for Kentucky videos, he's one of the guys that helps work on those and stuff. And he's just super creative. And he told me, he said, you were right. This email is unlike any email I have ever seen in my life. And so that was a huge compliment to me. I swelled with pride when I read that. So anyway, sign up, get the workbook, get on the mailing list, and let's be best friends. This is the first step in that. This is the first step in our beautiful, beautiful friendship that will carry us lovingly to our deathbeds one day, where our last thoughts before we leave this mortal coil will be of each other, and we'll fondly remember the good times we had, you reading my stuff, and me spending the money that you eventually feel compelled to give me for my brilliance. And I can think of no more beautiful life to live than that. So anyway, let's get on with with what it means to be made in the image of God, whether you believe in God or not. And let me reemphasize, you do not have to believe in God in any way to pursue your bliss, to travel the left-hand path of the monomyth. It's not necessary. You can be an atheist, but you can also still be a Christian if you want to be, whatever you want to be, whatever you are. This is a path that's open to you. So let's get into it. The first thing is, bliss comes from a Sanskrit word, and Sanskrit is a spiritual language by nature. There's a lot of spirituality happening into that language. And I think you could argue all languages are spiritual by nature just because of how they work and what they do. But Sanskrit in particular is used to communicate a lot of spiritual ideas. And bliss is kind of described as one of the three jumping off points into transcendence. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to be a jumping off point into transcendence? Well, it means that when you're experiencing this thing, you are really close to transcending your physical body experience. And so that even though I've explained that, that still can seem kind of confusing to somebody. How can following your bliss, if bliss is commonly understood as pursuing the thing that you're enthusiastic about, how does that get you close to transcendence? And I have a couple of theories. And these theories are kind of built on the works of other people, but there's a lot of me in them too. And I'm a real big fan of this guy. And I'm just, I say I'm a big fan, I've completely gone blank on his name. His last name is Mel Abrams. And so Mel Abrams talks about the way to become a thought leader on a general topic is to consume the information that's out there on it, listen to the experts, understand the experts, dissect the experts, but then you have to add your own twist to it. You have to interpret it the way only you can interpret it. And because basically all this information about Joseph Campbell and the monomyth and Carl Jung and all this stuff, it's on the internet. If you want to go out and find it on the internet yourself, you can. So I'm not the gatekeeper to that information. It's all out there. But what I am the gatekeeper to is my particular twist and take on it. And so sometimes you'll listen to my stuff and you'll be like, I've heard that before. That's nothing new. And so you're right. It's nothing new. But if you stick with it, if you keep with me, you will eventually hear the parts that are specifically mine and specifically me. And in my coaching practice, that's what I try to bring to people. Because the stuff I coach people on, it, like I said, a lot of the information is out there. They could just sit down on YouTube or Google and find a lot of this stuff. But it's the interpretation of it. It's the application of it that is genuinely mine. And so let's get back to bliss. I'm sorry, I got off on a little bit of bird trail there, but so bliss is a jumping off point to transcendence. And so what that means is that I think when you follow your bliss, you're really close to being kind of made in God's image. And that happens a couple of ways. One of the ways is every religion, just about, I would say, in the world universally, describes God at least in one way the same, and that is that he is eternal. That means he exists outside of the framework of time, that God does not experience time the same way we do because he is not bound by it. And so you and I, we are bound by time. We're trapped inside of it. It's the plane we exist in. And the way we experience time is through our senses, whether it's seeing or smelling or hearing or touching. We are constantly encountering things that tell us time is passing. You smell the rotten fruit. You touch the weathered skin. You see the leaves changing. These are all signs that time is passing. And so our senses tell us this is happening. And so when we pursue our bliss, when we do the thing that we are most enthusiastic about, something happens that you might have noticed. If you do something you really love, you lose track of time. For a brief moment, your sensing of time, whether it's visually or with your olfactory senses, your ears, you kind of step out of that and you stop noticing the things that tell you time is passing. And so for a brief moment, sometimes we can be like God in the sense that we are not aware of the passing of time. So, you know, obviously we still are getting older and time is passing, but that's why it's not bliss is how you become transcendent. Bliss is a stepping off point to transcendence. And so in that moment, we come close to transcendence because we stop noticing time and its effects around us. And so that's one way that we kind of become like God when we do what we love. The other way is when I say God, it's confusing because here in America, Christianity, they decided God was the name of Yahweh, and that when you say God, you're talking about their God. And there's a lot of other gods out there that would probably like that kind of treatment. They're like, I want to be God, that when you say the word God, you think of me. And but God can mean a lot of different things. And in most religions, if they're not monotheistic, if they're polytheistic, there's kind of a top God, a father God, a God who kind of created everything else. And in Christianity, some people would say, I think the general vibe is that it's monotheistic, but a lot of people would say no. If you read the Old Testament, there were more people bopping around up in heaven with God, that it was really kind of a pantheon. Some people would say the idea of Sophia, which means wisdom, that represents another celestial being that was in heaven with God. Some people say, you know, the Son and the Holy Spirit, that represents a kind of pantheon. So I don't really want to get into that debate or discussion, but I do want to say that most religions will have kind of a tier, a hierarchy, and at the top of that tier, the top of the pyramid, is the Father God. And what Father Gods always are kind of known as, they're also Creator Gods. They are the ones who created the world we live in, and the, you know, our bodies and the planet and the earth and the universe. And so usually they do that out of chaos. Usually chaos exists in some form. And we see that in the early verses of the Bible, that there's a spirit floating over the chaos, and then God comes in and he starts molding that chaos into creation. And so that idea of chaos, that's not just a biblical idea. That exists in a lot of religions where it says God comes in and there's this big mess of stuff, and God starts molding that stuff into order. And so that's what gods do. And when I say gods, I mean creator gods. They take chaos and they turn it into order. And how do they do that? They do that by creating boxes. And so those boxes are designed to keep chaos out. And then inside the box is a kind of order. And when I say box, I don't literally mean boxes. I should probably say containers. They create containers. And so we see in the Bible, God starts creating containers. He creates, and it's obviously confusing the way the Bible talks about it and the order that he does it in, but he creates dry land. And so that becomes this container that pushes back water, creates the planet, creates, then he gets smaller and smaller. He creates Eden. And so Eden becomes this container that holds chaos out. And Eden, the word actually means walled paradise or walled garden. So the name of it acknowledges that God created these walls to keep stuff out. And then the smallest box he creates is man. And so man becomes this container that holds in order and keeps out chaos. You know, by design, doesn't happen as much as we would love it to, but it happens that way. And so that's how gods create order. And so I would argue that one of the ways that we're made in the image of God and become gods ourselves is that we create order. We create little boxes around us to keep the chaos out. And I would say your preferred method of keeping chaos out is your bliss. The way that you feel most talented, most successful, most enlivened, by creating order, that's your bliss. So maybe you're a filmmaker, and so you want to tell a story, and so you're like, to tell this story, I need to get these little disparate pieces, dialogue and action and framing, and I want to put them together into a specific order. So in doing that, you're creating order and you're keeping out chaos, because you can't tell a story with chaos. It's too confusing. Or say you're an artist and you're like, okay, here's this frame, here's this canvas, this is my box. And inside this box, I'm going to create this image that's inside my head. I'm going to give it an order. And you can't just, you know, if you're an impressionist or if you're Pollock or something, you might just throw paint on the canvas, and most people would look at it and say, oh, that's chaos, that's a mess. And I would assume Pollock could look at his canvases and see an order to them. But as an artist, you have a specific vision. If you don't get that vision on paper properly, then it's not the order that you're seeking to create. And so if you're, and I don't want this just to be artistic, if you are a secretary and you try to create a framework that the people that you serve and work for can work and thrive inside of, you are taking the chaos of their everyday lives and you're creating a box of order for them to operate out of. And so in that way, we, each one of us, are like God. We're made in the image of God. We are God with a small g ourselves, because we look at the chaos around us and we create order out of it. And when we do that, we are doing what we were made to do. We are following our bliss. We are we're putting the world right. And so we get a little bit into kind of some of what I talk to my coaching clients about. And in our own lives, we kind of have to do things the opposite of the way we see them done in, say, the biblical story. In the biblical story, we see God kind of start big, and the containers he makes get smaller and smaller and smaller. I would say to you, you need to start pretty small. And probably not as small as you could start, because as small as you could start is everything that's going on inside of you. And that can be kind of a hairy place to start. So I think you want to go one level up from that and look at your room, look at your house, look at where you live and say, what can I do to create order here? Do I need to get all the clothes up off the floor? Do I need to do some laundry? Do I need to hang some stuff up? And start creating order there. And order is one of those things that's kind of like kudzu, that if you give it a little bit of attention and you give it a little bit of food and water and you take a little bit of care of it, it will grow out exponentially. And so, because if you clean your house, but then your office at where you work is a mess, there's going to be it's going to create a little bit of conflict in your life, because you're moving from order to chaos, order to chaos, order to chaos, and that will quickly drive you crazy. And so clean your house, and then go to work and clean your work, and then you'll start noticing, there's all this order in my life, but not my relationships. I need to start cleaning my relationships up. So you start cleaning relationships up. And then eventually you get to the point where you're like, you know what? What created all this chaos to begin with is what's inside of me. And so that's when you take the step a little bit smaller and you start working on what's inside of you. And that can be a hard, long journey, but it's the journey we're called to, I think. And it's the journey that ultimately following your bliss pushes you towards. Here's the other thing. I talk about borrowing thought and expanding on thoughts. This is something Jordan Peterson, if you ever heard Jordan Peterson, he talks about, is one of the religious stories. It's a religious story. They say it's a creation story that probably inspired the biblical creation story in a lot of ways, but it's this Mesopotamian story. There was this horrible dragon monster god called Tiamat. And she's often referred to as the grandmother god. And so she had a grandson named Marduk. And Marduk was kind of the all-father god for his pantheon. And what Marduk did was he battled Tiamat, and he destroyed her, killed her, and then took her body and turned it into the ground and the sky. And so basically he created order out of the chaos of her body. But he was able to, one of the things that's important to know about Marduk is he had a lot of eyes. That's how he's described. He had eyes all around his head. And so that may just seem like some strange mythological detail, but it's significant, because what's required to be able to turn chaos into order is sight, and specifically insight. So that's why I'm so enthusiastic about finding your bliss and figuring out what it is that drives you and you're enthusiastic about. Because if you genuinely want to create order in the world, you need to understand yourself enough to know, here's what I'm good at, here's what I'm driven by, here's what's happening inside of me. And you can take that and you can use that to defeat the monsters of the world and turn their bodies into something good, turn their bodies into the containers you need to keep out further chaos. So that's part of why I'm big on following your bliss and talking about it, because I think it's necessary for us as human beings, as society, as culture, to put the world right. And so maybe you're listening to this and you're like, well, that's great, but I have no idea in the world what my bliss is. I have no idea. Well, you're in luck, because in future episodes, as a matter of fact, in our next episode, I'm going to give you some exercises for figuring out what your bliss is. And it's important to point this out, and I'll point this out in the next episode. I'm not giving you a math problem. You can't add 2 plus 2 plus 2 and get your bliss. It doesn't work that way. Instead, what I do is I give you some tools to help you do the math yourself, to go inside, to figure out yourself, and go from there. So anyway, this has been how we are made in the image of God, whether you believe in God or not. I hope it's made sense. I hope it's helpful. If you have questions, please email me at patchtree@gmail.com. Or wherever you're seeing this, wherever you're downloading it, there's probably a comment section of some kind. Against the entire world's advice, I will read the comments and see what you have to say, and hopefully answer any questions I can, hopefully help you in any way. But at any rate, thank you so much for listening. This has been Blissed the Podcast, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.